engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need, and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of offering that only the priests could lawfully eat, and shared it with his companions?" Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord, and he made that very, very clear. He asserted his authority as God. This was what got so many of the religious leaders angry at him and led to the plans to crucify him. And this was another example of how not only he exerted his authority as Lord, but pointed out that what God has put in place in the system of laws, aside, of course, from pointing us to his sovereignty, we must love and serve him above all, shows the centrality of the human person. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Human life is primary. Serving human life is above other considerations. All the laws that do exist, all the rules and regulations that are in place need to be observed. Jesus doesn't say ignore them or throw them out the window, but he points to their purpose. It's for the good of human beings. And so, therefore, there are sometimes circumstances where the actual requirement of a rule or regulation or law contradicts the good of the human person. You can think of it in terms of a no trespassing sign. Well, sometimes you have to violate a no trespassing sign, but you're really not breaking the law. If, for example, you're walking past a yard where you see a little child fall into a pool and they need help getting out lest they drown, you're going to violate that no trespassing sign and nobody's going to blame you. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so it is in our lives, whether in our religious life or in our civic life. This is the purpose of law, to uphold humanity. Laws exist for human beings, not human beings for the law. Businesses exist for human beings, not human beings for businesses. The state exists for the human person, not the human person for the state. The economy exists for human persons, not human persons for the economy. We can go all through the various dimensions of our life and our community existence, and we can make this same assertion. And the church makes this assertion in her social teachings. And our president, whose accomplishments we thank God for, operates according to this principle as well. It's always about the good of the people, not some kind of ideology. It's always for what is right for the people, for their families, for their future, for their security, for their faith, for their freedom. This is how this president has conducted his administration. Anybody that doesn't realize this has not been paying attention. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And we constantly try to move the shape of our economy, the shape of our businesses, the shape of our public policies in that direction. That's why no other president than the one we have now, Donald Trump, has removed more government regulations, more red tape, more bureaucracy than this one. And why he has asserted time and time again that the American way is faith and family, and God, not government and bureaucracy. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Laws were made for man, not man for laws. You get rid of bureaucratic rules and regulations that end up having the effect of snuffing out people's productivity or their businesses or their freedom. You get rid of that so that they can flourish, so that they can feel like they have opportunity to grow a business. You get rid of unnecessary rules and protocols that would cause a transportation project, for example, to take 20 years, and our president was able to cut it down to take no more than 2 years. Projects that would have taken 20 years, now taking 2 years, because it's all for the good of the person, not the other way around. We're not supposed to be slaves to all kinds of bureaucratic rules and regulations that really don't help our lives. Brothers and sisters, we live our lives with the anchor of hope. This reading from the letter to the Hebrews is the source of that Christian symbol of hope being the anchor, right here from Hebrews chapter 6. We hold fast to hope. We have that as an anchor for the soul. And what is hope? It's that we possess now a victory that has not yet been fully unfolded. The hope of salvation. We know we are saved in Christ now, but we're still walking perilously, you know, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're still walking perilously through a world in which we can end up betraying God by sin. We still must die with Christ and in Christ and rise again. But we have hope. While we still battle the evils of this world, while the weeds and the wheat grow together, we still have hope that God's plan unfolds, that we have it in our possession already, that He will not let it go, and therefore we must not let it go. And that's the attitude that we have as we look at the great accomplishments of this presidential administration, so many of which have been made with the active collaboration of people of faith. I would say all of them have been made with the active collaboration of people of faith, looking in fact to the hope of the gospel as something that needs like a leaven to transform this world, to transform even our politics. And because we have made these decisions and policies with the good of the human person in mind above all, because the president has pursued and built these policies with God in mind, not government, therefore we have the hope that moving forward, you and I can defend these policies and build on them and resist any attempt to change them, dilute them, or discard them. That's our mission now moving forward. And brothers and sisters, let's do it with that faith, that joyful, eager faith described here in the letter to the Hebrews and confirmed by our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all the good that has been done. And thank you for the commitment to defend it. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.